promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be there. He is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's here.
Yes.
You can touch him.
Yes.
You will never be the same.
No way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you so much. What a blessing.
Amen.
This morning. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're everywhere. We thank you that you have given us the privilege of touching you, of coming to you in repentance of our sins and receiving everlasting life. We thank you that you brought us here this morning. We know you have a special word for us. So speak to our hearts. And may your message for us be clear. Use even me, Lord, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Two men, two lives, two destinations. I believe that most people fear death as they are unsure about what happens after they die. Fear of the unknown, some call it. However, there should be no doubt in the mind of the believer about what happens after death, because the Bible makes it very clear. There are only two ultimate destinations from which to choose. There is heaven for those who receive salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is hell for those who have rejected him. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, Jesus gives us an account of two men who lived two totally different lives and resulted in two different and opposite destinations. The first person spoken about was a rich man. He was dressed daily in purple and fine linen. Now, purple was a sign of great wealth. Usually only royalty could afford to be dressed in purple. And fine linens as well was very expensive. And so he created an impression of importance on those who saw him. But there were some things that the public could not see. They could not see the emptiness in the rich man's heart.
Amen.
1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord sees, not as man sees, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart."
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Verse 19 says that this rich man fared sumptuously every day. Materially, he could afford whatever he wanted to make himself comfortable and to enjoy the finest meals. He was obsessed with his own comfort and pleasure and had little regard for the needs of anyone else. In contrast, verse 20 speaks of another man, a beggar named Lazarus. His clothes was as rags. He spent his days lying outside the gate of the rich man, hoping to feed on the crumbs from the rich man's meals. He was also full of sores, and the dogs came and licked his sores. Each day he was laid there by his family, unable to walk there himself. Each day he tolerated the aroma of the sumptuous meals of the rich man being prepared, just hoping for a taste of the leftovers. Each day he was ignored by the rich man as he entered and left his residence. But once again, there was something that the public could not see. They could not see the peace within Lazarus's heart. For the beggar had a God who watched over him. He had a God who sees all and knows all.
Amen.
A God he knew would never leave him,
yes,
nor forsake him.
Amen.
Some here today are enduring hardships,
yes,
right now. There may be some here today who don't know where the next meal is coming from. You may have lost your job and the bills are piling up. Everyone around you seems to be doing so much better than you are.
Yeah.
Even those who have little to do with God. But I want to tell you something today, that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere and he sees all. He is omniscient and he knows all things.
Yes.
He knows your situation. He is in control and he wants you to trust him.
Yes.
I want you to know today that God promises great rewards for those who remain faithful to him through hardship and persecution.
Yes.
Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you."
Amen.
And Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse 22 tells us that both the beggar and the rich man died. My friends, the latest statistics on death is 1 out of 1.
Amen.
We all must die.
Yes.
And we will not take a dime of our money with us when we go.
Yes.
Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." But the rich man and the beggar arrived at two opposite destinations. There must have been a great contrast in their funerals. I imagine the rich man had quite a funeral with many important people there. A fancy casket of the finest wood, probably trimmed with gold. His eulogy probably listed all these earthly accomplishments. And there were probably paid mourners and horse-drawn chariots and all the bells and whistles of a wealthy funeral.
Yes, amen.
Then I'm sure he was tombed with the finest marble.
Yes.
But there was no mention of a funeral here at all. Because all the splendor of a grand funeral is of no effect on a person's destination. I can also imagine that the beggar was buried in a simple board box, probably buried in a potter's field, reserved for those who could not afford better, with hardly anyone there, and only a mound of dirt marks the spot where he was buried. But brothers and sisters, no funeral could change the destinations of these two men. Verse 22 tells us that after the beggar died, the angel of the Lord transported him into Abraham's bosom. And that was before Jesus died on Calvary's cross. Now the believer is escorted directly to the Lord in heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
The rich man, on the other hand, died and was buried. Did you notice that the rich man's name was never mentioned? He might have been well known on earth, but his name was not written in the book of life. Verse 23 says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it amazing that for years the rich man passed Lazarus at his gates, destitute, and never once tried to help him in any way? But now he begs for the same Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger into water and cool his tongue. Too late. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. My brothers and sisters, be careful what seeds you plant, for there surely will be a day of harvest. The Bible says, as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. You cannot sow orange seeds and reap mangoes. You will reap what you have sown.
Amen.
Now this rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, but because he rejected God. Nor did the beggar go to heaven because he was poor, but because he trusted in the Lord. It is the condition of your relationship with God that matters, not your financial status. We who are alive have the opportunity to repent of our sins and accept the free gift of salvation, which comes only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John 14 that our Lord Jesus Christ, having risen from the dead, is gone to prepare a place for us and for those who love him, and that he's coming again to take us to live with him there forever. But for those who reject this free gift of salvation, there is another place reserved for them called hell, a place of torment, a place of great suffering. And this is where this rich man went. You know, Jesus had more to say to us about hell than heaven in the Bible, because he wants to warn us to be sure we don't go there. In Mark 9:45, Jesus said, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. The rich man was experiencing hell in its fullest. He was tormented by hell's flame, which will never cease, but will continue forever. And there is no way out. Now he wants to call on God for help. But it's just too late. My friend, if anyone tells you that after you die, they can pray you into heaven, it is a lie straight from the depths of hell. You must repent of your sins. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life while you are alive, or you are lost for all eternity. The rich man is now the beggar. Have mercy on me, he says, requesting mercy, but not apologizing for the way he treated Lazarus on earth. But once again, he thinks only of himself and his needs. He appeals to Father Abraham to send Lazarus to help him. But Abraham, in verse 25, replied, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Furthermore," says Abraham, "there is a great gulf between us that no one can cross from heaven to hell or from hell to heaven." Notice that this whole time, Lazarus is quiet. He's not saying anything. Because you see, he has no bitterness in his heart toward the rich man, despite the way he treated him. In fact, Lazarus might have been willing to bring the water to the rich man if it were possible. But you see, no one can help someone in hell, for that is the final destination of one who has rejected God. The rich man totally ignored Abraham's call on him to remember his life of selfishness. And even now, he still sees the beggar as his inferior, calling for him to serve him water as if his butler, to be his errand boy, to run messages to his family. Verses 27 through 28 tells us that now he wanted to pray, but it was just too late. He said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Tell them don't come here. Tell them, make sure they don't come here."
Yes.
My friend, if you were to hear from those gone before us who have not gone to heaven, they would beg us not to come to hell, because hell is not a place you want to be. It's a place where the worm never dies, says Isaiah. It's a place with an everlasting lake of fire reserved for those who reject God. Don't go there. For God has provided a wonderful alternative. A wonderful place called heaven, where there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no sickness. A place of everlasting joy in God's presence. Abraham answered the rich man in verse 29, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." My friends, no one is going to warn you from the grave not to go to hell. But here in the Word of God, the warning is clear. Abraham said in verse 31 that if one does not learn from the Scriptures, neither would he learn if someone came back from the dead to warn him. Lay not up for yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are three huge gates that lead into the Cathedral of Milan. Over one gate, there's an inscription in marble under a beautiful flower bouquet that says, "The things that please are temporary." Over the second gate, there's a cross with this inscription, "The things that disturb us are temporary." However, over the central gate, there's a big inscription saying, "Eternal are the important ones." How much do you care about others going to hell? Are you doing all you can to warn them not to go there? We must tell them now before it's too late. You are saved, but are your siblings saved? You're saved, but are your children saved? You're saved, but are your neighbors saved? You're saved, but are your co-workers saved? We are indeed our brother's keeper. So if we have been forgiven of all our sins, if we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we must tell someone else before it's too late. This story brings to our attention the distinct contrast between riches and poverty, between heaven and hell, between the compassionate and the indifferent, between the believer and the unbeliever. While we thought a lot about physical wealth, what is much more important is our spiritual wealth. Where do we stand with God? Is your place in heaven secure? C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, "If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." It is since Christians largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. How effective are you in your witness? Remember that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Remember that we are ambassadors for the Lord. We're called to go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Heaven is God's gift to the believer. It's a free gift, and all you have to do is receive it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Do not delay. When you delay, that's when the devil gets busy in your life, because his goal is for you to go to hell and not to heaven. Today you will leave here having made a decision. Choose heaven. Choose to come to Jesus today. He's waiting with arms open wide to receive you, to bless you, to forgive you, to forgive your every sin, and to give you everlasting life with him in heaven. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I invite you to step out from your seat boldly. Walk down this aisle during the singing of the invitation of him and say, Lord, I surrender my all to you. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of every sin. Wash it all away.
Yes.
And give me everlasting life. He is here.
Yes, hallelujah.
You can touch him.
Yes.
You will never be the same.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you,
Lord,
for speaking to us today.
Yes, sir.
To bringing again to our attention the fact that you have made a way for us so that we will not perish, but that we can have everlasting life. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful opportunity. And so, Lord, I pray that you will give courage to everyone within the sound of my voice, especially those who today must make a decision. Give them wisdom to make the right choice, to choose Jesus, to choose heaven, and not to go to hell. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our invitational hymn is number 559, Rescue the Perishing.